We are blessed. So cool to see a full parking lot today. We want to pray that today is a special day for you, your family, our church family. You know, very few places on this planet are people able to gather like we are today and be able to express their faith publicly, worshiping together and celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ. That freedom came to us because there were those who were willing over the years to lay down their life so that we could have the freedoms we have today. Let's don't take that freedom for granted. Let's just don't be casual in what we've always known, but know that that freedom came at a high price. Those who were willing to lay down their life so that we could live free in our freedom. And so today, in light of what this weekend is all about, I want to bring a challenge to God's church from God's Word about how we who are free and live free in Christ can make a difference in other people's lives who are dead in their sin. I'm kind of reversing that equation. Our freedom that we have in this world came from those who died. Those of us who live today can bring freedom for all of eternity to those who are dead in their sin. What does that look like? Well, we're in a theme since March called Ready, Set, Go. That as we look into Scripture, God has always called His people to get ready for revival, to get ready for the mission before them, that they were to be set and focused on what really mattered before they ever were to go and impact those who were dead in sin. And so our theme verse, Psalm 85, verse 6, is our daily prayer. And if you're not, give us an opportunity to be ambassadors for Christ. Why would we do that? Not just because IMB, the International Mission Board, is doing that, not just because other missionaries do that, but to realize all of us who know Christ are missionaries. Not just those that the IMB has anointed and sent overseas. We are missionaries where we live. Every day you wake up in a mission field. Let me show it to you. Go to Jeremiah if you can. If you have a Bible, go to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. Jeremiah lived in a day much like ours, a need for revival. Everywhere they looked, there was nothing but pagan hearts and pagan pursuits, pretty similar to the world we live in today. And the prophet, anointed by the Holy Spirit, spoke these words to his people. May they be words that we hear right now. Take a listen. He told his people, "You are to seek the welfare of the city." Did you know that that's God's will for us as Christians, that we are to seek the welfare of our city, where God has planted us, where we live? "Seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare." Now, as Jeremiah was preaching, they weren't living in freedom. They were in exile. They'd lost their freedom as a nation because they'd rebelled against God, and they were under the discipline of God. But even in that, God still wanted to use them right where they were planted. Is the church in America going to have to lose its freedom before we wake up and realize our mission? Is it going to take that for us to get serious about our faith, or will we learn from history and will we be the missionaries we need to be for our city? Seek the welfare of your city. That word seek there in the Hebrew means to pursue facts wherever they lead through an inquiring mind, a seeker. He said, you guys need to seek the opportunities that are, you need to have an inquiring mind. You need to look around and not be blind. You don't need to just rest in your own pity or in your own world or your own comforts, but you're to be seeking ways to bless your city. When's the last time you woke up and said, God, show me what you're doing. Lord, show me an opportunity where I could bless someone in my city. You see, the greatest way you can bless a city is to bless someone who lives in that city. To watch what's going on. Where is the enemy attacking our city? Where do we have our strongholds? And may the church be the one that's alert to know how to step into the gap because we've been seeking the Lord and seeking the needs of those around us. He says, seek the welfare. That's the next word, welfare. That word translates shalom. You maybe have heard that word shalom. It is used as a greeting among the Jewish people. And it is literally when they greet, they don't just say hello. They don't just say, how are you? They're speaking peace and wellness on that person they've just encountered. That word shalom is a big word, which literally means to be made whole. There's so many people in this city who are not whole. Who are not whole in their mind, their mental wellness. Who are not whole in relationships, relational wellness. Who are not whole with their Creator, the God who created them. They're separated because of their sin. And they have this huge gap, this huge emptiness in their life that can only be filled by Jesus. But they don't know how to find peace with God. That's why God sent you, the peacemakers. He sent you to be a peace missionary, to go into this city and to help people find peace, wholeness, because they are whole with God. So look at the next word. It says, seek the welfare of this city and pray to the Lord. That word prayer there can be just a generic word. Many of you pray, many of us pray, but this word for pray in the Hebrew means to intervene on behalf of another. It's intercessory prayer. It's not just praying to God because you want something from God. It's praying to God because somebody that God has placed in your path needs wholeness with God. And you intercede on their behalf. Jeremiah said, guys, quit praying about getting back to the homeland. Quit praying about what we need. We need to seek the welfare of this pagan city, these people who are not whole, and that's when you will find your wholeness, your welfare. The church should be praying. And so we are seeking to do that now, impacting our city as we learn how to prayer walk. And so I'm going to give you a definition. It's not mine. I did some research back in the day on prayer walking, and I found somebody who alliterated it this way, and I want you to write it down if you can take notes, or perhaps you can get it off our YouVersion notes. Take a look at it. Prayer walking is intercession, praying for others. Number one, praying on location, praying in that city, praying in the neighborhoods, praying where people live. It's praying where the people are. Now, we should have our private prayer closet. We should have our one-on-one time with God. We should be seeking His face personally. But then the Bible says we're to be praying continually at all times. You can't live in the prayer closet. You find life in the prayer closet. We live in this world. And as we go about living in this world, we can be prayer warriors, missionaries, everywhere we go. Doesn't matter if you're on your way to the grocery store, you're prayer walking, or maybe prayer driving, or prayer shopping. As you're going down the aisle with your cart, and you're already depressed because you know how much it's going to cost family, watch and see where people have needs. Pray on location. If you go to work this next week, don't just do a job well because you work unto the Lord, but use that as your mission field and pray for those you work around. As you drive back to your homes today, where God has planted you, prayer drive. Eyes open, alert to other drivers, but seeking to look around you and see what are the needs of your community, your neighborhood, your neighbors. Be praying on location. Number two, prayer walking is intercession on location with information. As we live where we live, as we seek where we are located, we gain new information. I can tell you from those who've been out prayer walking, as they've gone through our neighborhoods and started connecting with our neighbors, they have come back every Saturday and every Sunday saying, man, I never knew this need existed right here in the shadow of our steeple. I never saw it. I never knew what was going on. Matter of fact, I carry this little cute little trinket here. It's a little baby. I can't tell if it's a dinosaur, a gecko, or an alien. I'm not sure what it is. But it used to be hanging off somebody's stroller, keeping their baby happy and alert. Found it laying on the ground the very first week I went prayer walking on 115th Street. If you know somebody on 115th Street that's missing a dinosaur, send them to PCBC. And every time I look at this, I'm reminded to pray for the young families and the next generation that live right here That's 115th Street right here behind the Wellness Center, that whole row there. And I'm praying, not just when I'm on location, but by finding this, getting some information, knowing obviously there's a young family, at least a young family, it teaches me to pray in a very unique way. As you go about your neighborhood, maybe you'll start to see the real pains and the real needs of your street. Maybe you'll start to see people like you've never seen before. Instead of driving into your garage, shutting the garage door, and just going to the screen, maybe you'll start to see life in your neighbors differently. It's praying on location with information in cooperation. It's pretty cool when you get to go walking with others, whether it's your spouse, a family member, or a church member. Whether you're doing that in this neighborhood or your neighborhood, I'd encourage you not just to do it alone, you can, but do it with someone else. For some of you who it's not really feasible for you to walk your neighborhood, get in your car and still be on location. Still be seeking where is God at work and where can you be at work in your neighborhood. And do it with someone else. Be in agreement in prayer where two or more are gathered. Gather together. Prayer walking is intercession on location with information in cooperation against opposition. The enemy loves owning territory. He takes back what belongs, the dominion that belongs to God and his people. The enemy has stolen, and it's time that we take back what the enemy has stolen for himself. That's the opposition. And the last part is we do it for God's glorification. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul told Timothy, I exhort you, first of all, that you make supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. Not just you and your family, not just your church family, your ABF class, not just the body of Christ, but for all men. That includes men and women, boys and girls that you may not even know. That includes your neighbors on your left, your right, the north, the south, the east, and the west. That prays for those who may not vote like you vote, who may not be as inclined as you are, may not share your same moral compass. But we pray for who? All men. When's the last time you prayed for somebody outside of your tribe? Somebody outside of your family? We are to pray at all times for all men. Prayer walking allows us to be intercessors, praying with a directed focus for those in our city. Some people said, man, I get it. I know I need to be praying for all men, but I'm not really sure how to pray. Well, three things really quickly about how you pray. Scripture gives us great instruction. The first thing is we pray unto the Father. We pray to Him. The Bible says, again, Jeremiah, call out to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. God invites you to connect with Him through prayer. He says, call out to me. I will answer and I will show you things that you don't even see with your own eyes, but I'll show you. Let's daily wake up in our neighborhoods and in this neighborhood, and let's ask God to show us great and mighty things. Show us the needs of our city and how only God-sized ministry could happen in the days ahead. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son. John 14, verse 12 says, truly, truly, I say to you who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. So ask in my name, and it will be done. So a lot of people love that verse and say, whoo, I can do greater things than Jesus. I can use his name, I can ask him for anything, and he's got to do it. He's obliged to me. No, 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 the context is everything. What greater thing do you think you can do than Jesus did when he walked on this earth? What possibly greater thing could you do other than what Jesus did? Well, as Jesus left his throne in heaven, he came to this earth for a purpose, to do the Father's will. And in that dispensation of time, those who were blind, those who had been crippled, he raised up to walk. He performed miracle after miracle after miracle. He fed the thousands with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Miracle after miracle. Now, what in the world could we do that is greater than those things? Well, we can't die for the sins of the world. We can pray for healing, but he's the healer. We can pray for miracles, but he's the miracle worker. So what would be greater than that? The greatest work we get to do is what we get to do this side of the cross. For you see, God gave a great commission to his church, a great calling, and told us that we could be his ambassadors. You see, all those people who were healed, even Lazarus who was raised from the dead, those miracles only lasted a lifetime. Did you know that Lazarus died again? Did you know that the blind man would lose his sight again? The ones who were crippled would quit walking on this earth, even though they had been healed by Jesus, because death touched each and every one of them. The miracle was done. But you and I get to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we get to go into our Jerusalem, we get to go into our Judea, we get to go into our Samaria, we get to go into all the earth and make a difference in cities, bringing them welfare, not government welfare, wholeness with God. For God has given you the ministry of reconciliation, and when you allow God to use you for the welfare of your city and you introduce people to Christ, they are changed not only for a lifetime. How long are they changed? Forever. For all of eternity. That's the greater work. That's the greater work. And the Bible says God has given you that ministry, and yet so few are living in that ministry, living as a missionary. So here's the third way you do it, led by the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, greatest missionary that probably has walked on the planet, the Apostle Paul. We learn a lot from Paul. I encourage you to read through his letters. And as you read, don't just read the words on the page. Watch a missionary living out his mission. It says that they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, why would the Holy Spirit do that? Wouldn't he want everybody to hear the gospel? Why would he prevent them from speaking in Asia at that time? Because he had a specific location for them. After that, they came to Mysia. They were trying to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them to go there either. I don't get all that, but here's what I do know. I do know this from Scripture. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit will take you exactly where you need to be for whoever needs what you have, the Lord Jesus. And finally, they came to Troas. Notice how they were going. They were seeking God's will. They were seeking to share the faith. And the Spirit of God was leading them. He is our shepherd. And he will guide you if you let him. He will take you exactly where you need to be for such a time as this. So trust him with that. Verse 9. So then a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had heard from heaven, when he had seen this vision, immediately they went to Macedonia. Why? Because they were led by the Spirit, not by their own agenda. They didn't go where it was easy. They didn't go where they wanted to go. They went where God sent them. And so God moved in the church. Let me take you to another example. Go to Acts 17 quickly. Acts chapter 17. I know you can pray at home for your city. I know we can pray inside our building for our city, and we should do all those things. Keep doing that. But I think you're going to see time and time again, God's people were making a difference in their city because they were living in the city, going about in their city, and that's how God would use them among the people. Acts 17, verse 22. If you're ready for some hot dogs, say, uh-huh. If you want the preacher to go longer, say, praise the Lord. All right, you're going to get both. Here it comes. Verse 22. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. And he said, "Men of Athens," watch this. Look at what he said. "Men of Athens, I see." You see, Paul, as he was living in that area, as he had come with the gospel, he was living among them, and he was seeking the welfare of this city. He was doing what Jeremiah had taught earlier, what we looked at in the very beginning of the sermon. He was living it out. He says, "I see that you're very religious in all respects." This was a city full of religion, but not full of Christ. How can that be possible? Because being a Christ follower is not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. This planet is full of religion. Whether it's a religion that an atheist would hold, I have no religion, that's their own religion. Or the other things that are out there, other ways supposedly to a creator, religion is not the answer. Christ is. He says, I see you're very religious. He was observing how they lived, what they were doing. And he said this, look at verse 23, it's key. He says, for while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship. You see, what was Paul doing? Before Paul would preach to the people, he would live with the people. And as he lived with the people, he would seek, he would examine with his eyes spiritually what's really going on in these people's lives. What's going on in this city? What's going on in this neighborhood? And the Holy Spirit was revealing to him where the enemy had created the strongholds. We are surrounded by demonic strongholds. We are surrounded by testimony after testimony after testimony of lives that may even be trying to be religious but are held in bondage. Paul said, while I was passing through and examining the acts of your worship, I found an altar to an unknown God. Well, let me tell you who that God is. And now he starts to preach because he's seeking the welfare of the city. Paul was on missions in Athens. He was on location. He then gained the information he needed as he walked among them, as he lived among them, as he examined what was happening. And from that information with others, he brought the gospel to those who needed answers. May we be that kind of missionary. May we be that missional as a church. May we come together with a passion like never before to reach this city for its welfare. Again, Matthew 18 says, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, again, related to his kingdom, it shall be done for them. God cares about every person in this city, do we? God is pursuing every person. He's willing that none should perish, but all come to everlasting life. He's pursuing every soul in this city, are we? He's willing that none should perish, not a single soul. Are we? Are we on mission in our city? Well, we better be because, as I said earlier, prayer walking is on location with information in cooperation against opposition. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's prowling 115th Street. He's prowling 112th. He's prowling your street. He's prowling through every neighborhood and every soul of this city. Are we going to give the territory to the roaring lion? Or are we going to serve the Lion of Judah? Are we going to be the church that makes a difference in our city? Well, as you go through Scripture, you'll see it over and over and over again. We have an adversary. He seems to be taking plenty of territory. What are we going to do about it? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person but not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. We have an enemy. We have an opponent who doesn't want you engaging your city, who doesn't want you living your mission, and is doing everything he can to hinder you. And he's done a good job in America. He's hindered us with comfort and convenience. He's hindered us, frankly, with our own freedoms. He's hindered us with our kumbaya mentality. May God wake up his church, and may we seek the welfare of our city. On location, with information, in cooperation against opposition for glorification. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and may your glory be above all the earth. That's how the psalmist prayed. He also prayed, "Cease striving, know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And then God's word says, "Whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God." I want to invite you to step into your mission field. I want to invite you to see your city in a whole different way. I want to invite you that every day you walk on this planet, you prayer walk like a missionary. That everywhere you go, you take the heart of God in your new heart that God has given you for your city. So hear from Habakkuk when he said this, "Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you could never believe it, even if I told you." I pray that God would give us another chance, that we would allow God to do a fresh thing in our lives and in our city. Would you pray with me about it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray. As you're praying right now, you may need to start with repentance. I would think many of us need to repent because we've not been the missionaries. I've not been the missionary I need to be. We can preach it, we can know it, but if less we are living it, we need to repent. Maybe you need to say, "God, forgive me for receiving your grace but not sharing your grace. For expecting you to pour out your grace in my life, but me not share that grace with another life. God, forgive me." Maybe that's your prayer right now. Maybe your prayer is, "God, may I live on mission each and every day. God, daily I commit, I'm going to seek the welfare of my city, where I live, the location you plant me every day. God, I'm going to be your missionary. The power of the Holy Spirit. God, fill me." You can't go to others unless you have the promise of the Father. God, fill me with your Spirit. Maybe you know somebody that needs Jesus right now. You're one that you've been praying for these last few years. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Intercede for them. Pray for them by name right now. Would you do that? I want to pray for you. Father, I pray over this crowd of missionaries. Lord, we don't have to go to New York, although I'm glad we are. We don't have to go to Costa Rica, I'm glad we are. We don't have to go to Honduras, I'm glad we are. We don't have to go over to Zambia, though I'm glad we're there every day of the year through supporting missions. But God, we've got lost people all around us where we live on location right here. God, may we be your ambassadors. I pray, Lord, fill them with your Spirit right now. And do in us what you did on Pentecost, what is being celebrated around the world this weekend as Pentecost Sunday. God, may we have our Pentecost. May we be filled with your Spirit, empowered by you, and may this city be shaken for your glory. God, one life at a time, one soul at a time, lead us to them. Thank you that you're our shepherd that guides our path. Thank you that you are the one that equips us, empowers us to be your ambassadors. Honor these prayers now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As Josh makes his way up here, you should have a bulletin. If you got one inside that bulletin, we're going to give you a chance to practice prayer walking. You don't have to go through the neighborhood. We're going to do it on this campus. Ron Hayes, one of our very own, has developed a 10-stage, just 360 circle around this campus where you can pray over the different ministries of PCBC. And then you can take that beyond here. On the back of that sheet, the map, it'll show you the 10 zones. It will also give you instructions on what to pray about at each and every one of those numbers. And Josh is going to tell you how we're going to do that. Not every one of you is going to be able to physically walk this whole campus. That's okay. You can probably eat first. We'll see how Josh is going to dismiss. And then you can drive your cars whenever it's safe around that. Or you can come back this afternoon. And I want to ask that all of us would pray. If you need to pray just in your lawn chair as you eat when you're done, and pray from your lawn chair, that's okay as well. And you can look at that map and see all 10 different ministries. And you can pray on this campus in your lawn chair if you can't physically walk it. You'll be getting a few more details, I believe, from Josh. So, Josh, come on up. Tell us how we get to experience God's will now.
Thanks, Bill. Just to kind of lead straight into an opportunity to be obedient and to respond quickly, to take action and practice what we've just been challenged with, I would encourage you to take this seriously. And so, as Bill mentioned, there is a sheet in here with a map. It lays out specific ways that you can pray for different ministries of our church, kind of locations as you go through. I would encourage you to take advantage of that. And like Bill said as well, keep this. I mean, you can do this at any time. This isn't just a one-day thing. So take this and keep this and maybe find other opportunities to do the same as well. What we'd like to ask you to do as we wrap things up here is that for the sake of long lines and just movement and flow, that you would consider, particularly if you don't have kids, maybe taking some time to pray, maybe taking some time now to maybe hit some of these stations around our church or any of the different ways that Bill even mentioned just a moment ago, and kind of allow families and others to maybe be the first in line. We've got snow cones that you can get right here, and then we've got a line for hot dogs and chips and other things. They're bringing it out right now. Yep, back there. So just for the sake of flow, we would encourage you to maybe, if you can wait, maybe spend some time praying while some of the other families and others kind of hit those lines first and then kind of trickle in after that as well. I hope that makes sense. I also want to say real quick here, Bill had mentioned some of the missions opportunities that we have as a church. We still need some spots for New York City and Costa Rica filled. We believe firmly that God has called us to go and that God has called many of you to go. The question is whether we'll say yes. And so I just want to put it out there that if you have been thinking about it, that you feel like God's been speaking to you about it, nudging you in that direction, please say yes. We need those spots filled. They're there. If you would like more information, you can come and talk to me. You can come and talk to our other associate pastor, Drew Finley. You can find some information on the website. You have our email addresses there. But yes, we need some of those spots filled, and we believe God's calling our people to go, and so we would challenge you to say yes this summer. There's still time to get in on those and be a part of them. Let me pray for us. Let me pray over our food, and then you will be dismissed. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our life. You're worthy of our devotion. And the gospel is a message that is worthy of being proclaimed, that it is the good news that our world needs to hear, that our neighborhood needs to hear. God, do a work in our hearts. God, turn our eyes from worldly things. Turn our eyes from worldly possessions. Turn our eyes from the things that are not eternal, that ultimately are a waste of our lives. God, turn our hearts to what matters. And God, I pray that you would stir us up and draw us to a new level of commitment and devotion to see the gospel go forth into the lives of the people around us, God. We thank you for this chance to be together. We pray over the food that we get to eat. We thank you that we get to eat well when we know many will not. And we thank you for the chance to be your people together and celebrate that today in a small way. We thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.